Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, what do you got there?
This is the new Ping G430 Max 10K driver. It's next level. I'll tell you, it's so impressive. We all know that Ping help you play your best. I've been using them for years. I wouldn't use anything else. In fact, this new driver, it's Ping's straightest and highest moment of impact driver ever.
Holy moly. So on the course, what's that going to mean? How's it going to help golfers?
Well, to put it simply, it means people are going to be hitting longer, straighter, and they're going to absolutely crack their drives off the tee. I could talk about it all day. It's that good. But the best thing to do, if you want to check out how impressive Ping's new G430 Max 10K driver is, just book in with your local golf shop or professional to arrange a Ping club fitting, and I'll see you out there with my Ping gear.
It's week 10 of the golfing year, and today we're in paradise. As we're doing the podcast, it's about 25 degrees, hardly a cloud in the sky, and we're live from the National Golf Club in beautiful Cape Schanck on the Mornington Peninsula. And as always, we're talking golf thanks to our mates at Ping. Like we always say, Ping will help you play your best. And if you've never had a Ping club fitting, well, give yourself an uppercut. It's one of the best things you can do. See your local golf shop or professional and book in today. And Sam and the team at the Golf Clearance Outlet, great gear at great prices. But hey, don't take our word for it. Pod listener Shankenstein wrote in, hey guys, bought those gloves at Golf Clearance Outlet you recommended. Best I've ever used. High praise indeed. Check them in store or online at golfclearanceoutlet.com.au. Okay, time for the show. Nick O'Hearn and Mark Allen, live from the National. This is the number one Australian golf podcast, Talk Birdie to Me.
I've never done this before in my entire life. I've never started a show like this, ever.
What, The View, or...?
It's got something to do with The View.
Naked?
I just want to... Just the protest siren right now.
I wouldn't be here if
it's naked. We've been moved to the top room. We're at the National Golf Club. Thank you to the people at the National Golf Club. And we're upstairs because downstairs in the main lounge, it is heaving down there and it was just going to be too loud. So we came upstairs... And there's a beautiful view from this top tier. And then, it was pushing the button, so it's got the good view. And I've got my back to the good view.
You can sit over there if you want.
It's just unreal.
I've got the view that I have because it's closest to the PowerPoint, numbnuts.
I think you should do that top five best clubhouse views today. Because I'll tell you what.
Oh, wow.
This one is definitely in that top five. I might have to save that for another one, actually.
Yeah, save it for another one.
I know you've got a different
I've already got my top five sorted out.
But the reason we're here is in a couple of weeks' time, we've got the national tournament, which you'll be commentating. I won't be because I'm going to be in New Zealand.
Playing?
A member guest at Tara Eady. Thank you very much.
Goodness me.
Yeah, my wife and I are going over with our good friends, the Robertsons. So
Talking
we're looking forward to
views.
That.
You might have some good views there.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've never been. I hear it's pretty impressive.
So. Some people I know who I trust in golf, who have played there repeatedly, say it's the best course in the world.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
So I trust you. Yeah. So I'll be very interested to get a full report when you get back.
You've got three amazing golf courses here at the National, by the way.
Yeah.
So I'm lucky to call myself a member here, an ambassador for the club. So thank you to them for having us, especially Ben Hall, who arranged this. He's sort of part of the membership committee there. And the new captain, Meredith Ramadan, as well, and the general manager, Matt Corby. Thank you.
And Dan and I did notice that you scheduled a nice little learner in the morning.
No, we do it in the afternoon.
We did notice that, Nick.
We've walked in and you are having a lovely lunch surrounded by people who are just adoring us.
Goodness me.
Now, I should actually point out, too, we are at the National, so it kind of gives the game away a little bit. And that explains why the pod's a day late. There were some listeners to the pod who felt that was very suspicious.
Yeah.
So we put a poll up.
Really?
So we can try and clarify why we're here.
Apologies.
And some listeners suggested that was a cover for something slightly more sinister. So the options we gave them were, one, you are generally here at the National and that's why it's late.
Yeah.
Two, Nick was hungover. 3, Mark was hungover.
Oh, come on.
4, there were legal problems from last week's bonus pod.
Oh, there you go.
Oh.
What'd they say? What'd they go with? Nick's hungover, I bet.
The lowest answer was Mark was hungover. 18% said that.
Good.
27% said Nick's hungover.
Yeah, fair call.
27% said we're at the National. 28% said we got some legal issues after Mark's story last week. Well,
that was nothing to do with me.
It
so.
Wasn't anything to do with
no,
you.
No.
There's been some repercussions too about that story. But anyway, don't worry about that because we should be celebrating because Hannah Green won the HSBC World Championship of Women's Golf. I mean, fabulous name to a tournament.
It is a good one.
And how about birdieing the last 3 holes? Renton Laidlaw to finish favorite. The tournament. Birdie, birdie, birdie.
I was thinking of you when she did that, actually. I think Mark's going at home going, birdie, birdie, birdie.
Did they do anything to the commentators?
No.
I watched it in you know, how you do it, times 12. You know, you just...
Oh, you fast forward.
Fast forward it.
Oh,
just, nice. Just, you know she wins, and you just go back and watch. Some really rock-solid putts. I mean, the putt on the last was just gravy. I mean, just incredible. Never looked like it was going to miss at any stage. But that was a world-class field. I'm just going to get her record up now.
Please.
Because I had a look at it before. I should have had it up now. Mate, it's incredible.
Oh, she joins, what was it? There was 4 or 5 other players, Australians, to be 4-time winners on the LPGA Tour.
Yeah.
And you're in elite company right there because that's Jan Stevenson, Kari Webb, Minji Lee and Rachel Hetherington.
Yeah.
Incredible. But the thing I was most impressed was she actually had a pretty ordinary finish a couple of years ago and she should have won this tournament. Like she had a couple of bogeys late, really struggled. But to then put that in the back of her mind and come down the stretch, 2 behind Celine Boutier and go birdie, birdie, birdie for the win. Yeah. Unbelievable golf.
LPGA Tour, 4 wins. ALPG Tour, 4 wins. Epson Tour, 3 wins. Professional wins in total is 11. She's done that in 8 years. In 8 years. And one of those is a major, mind you.
Yeah.
Just in the majors, she's finished tied 8th in the Chevron. She won the Women's PGA in 2019. Now, the US Open, she's had a tied 13th, which is a mighty effort.
Mm.
A mighty effort.
That
you get
incredible.
Anywhere near the top 10. I mean, you had a top 10. You understand how difficult it is to do that sort of stuff. Women's British Open, tied 16th. Evian Championship, you know, she tied 30th. But, you know, not blowing your socks off, but just a graph that continues to improve.
Keeps getting better and better. And the worst thing is she's widening the gap on me as the best golfer to come out of Mount Lawley Golf Club.
I'm enjoying it.
I held that briefly for a couple of years and then Hannah came along and just destroyed me. So all the members
funny.
There will be loving it.
That is funny. And a special mention while we're talking about kids from Perth, Minwoo Lee cashed his biggest check on the US tour, over $1 million Australian. So I imagine around 900,000 US for tied for second. It's a good earn, isn't it?
It is.
It is big cash.
Yeah, he got close on that front 9 as well. He was looking good. Then he had one bad swing, made a double bogey, and then they blew the horn, and it went into Monday over there.
Yeah.
And he gave it a good shot in the final round, played some good solid golf, finished tied for second in the end. So that's a massive. Any time you earn 7 figures.
Yeah.
You're playing some pretty handy golf,
yeah.
Unless you're on live. And
tell me this as well. I mean, you've cashed a few big checks like that. What does that do to your mindset when your bank balance has just gone through the roof? And I'm not meaning this to be poking around. I think it's a genuine thing. I knew, you know, when I had at one stage $250,000 in my bank. And I felt invincible with $250,000 just sitting there. That was in, you know, the early 90s. $250,000 was a lot of money for me as a 22-year-old or a 23-year-old.
Yeah.
But you've picked up some enormous checks.
Well, nothing like what Minwoo just picked up because the prize money was different back in my day. But it was I had some good ones there.
Mate, you were a human ATM for about 5 years.
I racked up a few good ones in a row, yeah, for sure. But I think as a young pro starting out, well, look, we all love the game, but in the beginning, it is a bit of a job. You're sort of looking for that financial security, and he's at a point now that
he's right.
He doesn't have to worry about any of that.
And, okay.
But it's always nice to look at that bank balance and see a few extra possible zeros in there if you can. And then really, then you start playing for the titles, and you know if you play well, the money's going to be there anyway. So it changes your mindset after a little while.
So you don't even worry. So this is an important thing. You stop worrying about money.
Correct.
It's just, you know, like Forrest Gump says, one less thing. You know, when he became a kabillionaire, right, he invested in Apple and Bubba Gump shrimp and all the rest of it. You didn't have to worry about money anymore. It was one less thing.
There's one other guy who doesn't have to worry about money anymore. He just made his first appearance on the Live Tour last week.
You're talking about Anthony Kim?
Anthony Kim.
76, 76, 74. So it's six over. So 16 over.
16 over. Finished last by about 11 strokes.
I was pretty impressed with a man who hadn't played for how long? 25 years? 20 years? To shoot, to actually, you know, when the focus is on you and people are watching you, and a few rotten things happened. I think he lost the ball in that second round that was a unlosable kind of golf ball, but he lost the ball somewhere that he shouldn't have lost. I think they looked for 7 minutes, I believe.
Well, he hasn't played on the tour for a while, so he doesn't realise the rules have changed.
That's right. You used to be able to look for seven
minutes.
Well,
not for seven, yeah. He had a hosel rocket in the first round, I heard. The one thing that gets me is, you know, look, the Live Tour are trying to make this out as though it's not an exhibition. They're trying to legitimise the whole thing. And you bring someone like him in, now that just changes the whole dynamic of it again, I think. And he's guaranteed for the rest of the year. He's going to play a full schedule. And what has he done in 12 years? Nothing, really.
Not much.
It's a tough one. And look, he'll probably get his game back fairly quickly, I assume. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. They picked the right tournament for him by the looks of it, the one over in, it, Jeddah, where there's no crowds. You know, there's not going to be anyone out there, so he won't feel that extra pressure. But, it was a rough outing for him to begin with, but, you know, I'm sure they have a plan going forward.
It's funny you say, because in the long terms, I agree with you, but at this early stage of Liv, I thought it was a pretty good strategic thing to do because they had more people watching this week than they've had for a long, long time. So there's a real curiosity factor about Anthony Kim, and the ratings show that. So even though it's not what they want to do long term, I thought perhaps short term wasn't a bad move. It certainly had, I mean, I knew there was a Live event on. Normally I don't even know if the Live events are on. Mm. But I certainly knew that Anthony Kim was playing in an event that was being broadcast at completely the wrong time for us here in Australia.
I didn't see any of the golf, but I heard he was playing. So
His swing looked good.
Yeah, pretty solid, I think.
I think he had 30 putts around, which is no good. If you're missing
was
greens.
Was it? Yeah, okay, if you're missing greens, that's no good for sure.
That is no good at all. Just while we're talking about Live Golf, Taylor Gooch, he wants an asterisk next to Rory McIlroy's
if he completes the Grand Slam at the
career
Masters.
Career Grand Slam at the Masters. Yeah.
Did you see someone got on his Wikipedia page?
Yes.
And they put an asterisk next to every event he's won because it said Rory McIlroy not playing.
Wasn't playing.
I thought that was fantastic.
No matter what side you're on, that's very funny. It is very clever whoever went and did that. it's just that childlike rivalry from both sides, I reckon so.
Yeah, well,
there's
a lot of discussion going on at the moment, isn't there, with, the PIF, and are they going to just go their own way now on the PGA Tour and say, no, I'm good, we're going to possibly go to DP, might take the Asian Tour completely over. Yep. Who knows what's going to happen?
Well, look, we floated it last week because it's the obvious, and then this week there has been a number of articles all over the place from people who, I trust them. I don't trust them. You know, it's not exactly the PGA Tour. It's not coming from Liv, but it's coming from a lot of people suggesting that now the Saudi Arabians have had enough with the PGA Tour. That'll do us. Mm-hmm. And they're going to focus on Liv. And what best way to spend their $2 trillion moving forward? The more I read, the more people are falling into line with our belief that the DP World Tour will be the big winner. Mm. And I think that will end up being good news for us if we are happy to go along with Aramco here and there.
And the co-sanctioning.
And all the rest of it. Now, I'm not sure if it's James Sutherland's decision. He runs Golf Australia. Perhaps it is more a suggestion for the PGA of Australia. So, to me, it's I wouldn't have ticked it 3 or 4 years ago, but I'm ticking it now because I don't think he can win the battle. I think it's as simple as that. The fight's not worth fighting. In fact, the fight, you know, my dad told me this a long time, pick the fights you know you can win.
Mm.
I don't think he can win this fight.
Not when there's that much money involved from one side. And in the beginning, it surprised me that the tour came back trying to fight him with money, you know, build the purses up and throw all this money at him. You're never going to win that battle. Mm. They'll just keep upping the purses, basically. Yeah. So, yeah, it's a tough one at the moment. So.
Did you see Keith Pelley pretty much said sayonara? He's going back to run some big tournaments, the PGA, the DP World Tour boss.
Mm.
What's his, is it Keith Pelley?
Keith Pelley, yeah.
So he's going back to Toronto. He's going to be running some sort of sporting organisations over there. I read, I've forgotten what they are, but he's heading back to Toronto.
Left his mark on the game.
A lot of grief, yeah. He did. He left his mark on the game.
He did.
No, there is no doubt about that.
He didn't go with Liv and he went with a strategic alliance with the PGA Tour. Ooh, so we'll see how long that lasts.
Well, there's the other one. I mean, he seems to think everything's in good shape.
Yep.
He reckons he's left the tour in better shape than it was, and it probably was. You know, he's probably right. Did he take the wrong fork in the road?
Mm.
Because it was a big offer.
It was ripe for the picking.
And people like Westwood and Poulter and others were screaming from the rooftops that he should have just taken the Saudi Arabian money.
Who's coming in as his replacement?
Guy Kinnings.
Oh, yeah, I know Guy.
Okay. So he's the current DP World Tour deputy
and
CEO director. He's going to take over on April the 2nd.
Okay.
You guys were talking about Liv just a moment ago. We had a question from Luke Drummond, who has a live question that he'd like to ask you. Should we give him a yell and have a chat to him?
Yeah, let's do it.
Absolutely.
Right. So we'll call Luke. Luke, by the way, says he listens to the podcast while he's mowing the lawn.
That's nice.
Yes. You'll
have to turn it up loud.
Hello, Luke speaking.
G'day, Luke. It's Mark Allen, and it is Nico Hearn, and Dan's here as well, mate. And we believe you've got a question on Liv for us.
Oh, g'day, fellas. Thanks for calling. My question is about Rory McIlroy, because there's rumours going around that of all the people, he may be the one to cross over and for a staggering $950 million.
Now, it's a very good question, Luke. It's a ripper. But I think we've just been talking about Liv.
Yep.
I think that is half a chance if the Saudi Arabians look after the DP World Tour. And it goes, and that's where their money goes. I don't think Rory would go across for $900 million to play in what is currently the LIV circuit. I don't think he would. But in saying that, if the $900 million was there over 4 or 5 years and he just got to play on the European Tour and the majors, Then you might have
something there.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if that didn't happen, Rory's never going there, I wouldn't think.
No, I wouldn't think.
I mean, hang on, we've said that about John Rahm before as well and other players, but I think you're right there because his original allegiance was with the DP World Tour. That's where he started. And then he obviously lives in America now, lives down in that West Palm Beach area, so he knows all the PGA Tour guys. I think you could be right there, Mark. But that's a very good question, Luke.
Hey, Luke, we'll make you part of the panel. What do you think? What do you think will happen if he's offered $900 million US dollars? Do you think he could go and play and live events?
Well, how do you say no to that? It's too much money.
Yeah.
Well, he's probably got at least half that in the bank already, I would imagine.
I think
and
he's
how much
going
is
okay.
enough?
Well, that's true. But I just wonder if he did go, then what would that mean about the sort of future of the PGA Tour? And like you guys have said all along, does it just become some American-centric tour where they don't want to go anywhere else?
Yeah, well, I think if the LIV Golf end up taking over DP World Tour, well, all of a sudden the PGA Tour becomes what's now like their Corn Ferry Tour, basically. Yeah. It becomes the secondary tour in world golf. And for them, I think a lot of the players, and as you said, or we spoke last week, was the Americans will stay home and play, and then the rest of them, the foreigners and that, will probably move over and away we go, for sure.
Hey, Luke, I saw Victor Hovland speaking last week, and they were asking him.
Oh, yeah.
And he was talking about his memorial win last week and why he wants to stay at the PGA Tour is because of all the history on the trophies. He doesn't feel like he wants to go over and play in the LIV events with no history and, he can't see his name on the same trophy as Jack Nicklaus and Greg Norman and, all the superstars of golf. But There's a lot of history on the DP World Tour. There is a stack of history there. You know, you look at the big three events on the European Tour. You got the PGA, and you got the Masters, and you got the European Open. You got the Australian Open potentially, and German Open's got a lot of history. I mean, it's been around long enough now to where there is some history there. So, I wonder whether a lot of the European players playing on the US Tour, if they were offered a little cash incentive to come and ply their trade somewhere else, whether that would be into serious consideration.
A little tipping point going on there, perhaps.
Yeah, I think the only issue, I guess, for someone like Victor Hovland is that because he went to college in America, has he now almost become more Americanized than European?
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, a lot of players just live in Florida and play the European Tour. I mean, it's not that big a deal to do that anymore. They play two or three events in a row. They come back and stay home in Florida for 3 weeks and then get back and do it that way. So I think you'd find that the DP World Tour would understand that and put the, let's call it the DP World Tour Grand Prix events, they'd set them up quite nicely for the players so that the ones who did want to stay in America and base themselves in the States could actually do that. So I think there's scope for that to happen. And when we're talking about $2 trillion, Luke, I think anything's possible.
Oh, well and truly.
Yeah. Hey, Luke, whereabouts do you play golf?
At Mafra, just outside of Sale.
What's it like? Good course?
It's not too bad. Look, we've just put in, like, had to have it fully watered with the automated sprinkling. And the greens are always really good. And the fairways are probably on their way to matching that.
Magnif. Good on you, Luke. Thanks for touching base, mate. We appreciate it.
Thanks very much, fellas.
Thanks, Luke.
Luke from Mafra. Green's good. Fairways, if you're listening, Greenskeeper, you need to work on those fairways, according to Luke. Now, Nick.
Yep.
I was having a look at the final stages of the New Zealand Open on the weekend.
Good finish.
What was the guy's name? One?
A Japanese player.
Hendy three-putted the last
time. Hataji.
They showed how much each player won.
Yeah. That surprised me when I saw it.
The New Zealand Open was worth more than our Australian Open.
I know, that's an issue.
How much more?
Well, it's not an issue, but it's...
Well, their tournament was worth $2 million New Zealand dollars, and when I did the maths, that was $1.86 million Australian dollars. Our Australian Opens were both worth $1.7 million each. That doesn't sit well with me. Sorry if you're a New Zealander listening to our podcast, but come on. How is that possible? Our Australian Open should be worth double what the New Zealand Open is. They've basically got as many people as we do in Victoria or, bordering, New Zealand, New South Wales have only got a little bit more and Queensland have only got a little bit more in population. And we're below them.
They've got some good sponsors over there, obviously. Who was the naming rights sponsor, do you know?
I don't know.
I didn't see.
Every time I switched it on, it was the New Zealand Open featuring Ash Barty.
Ooh.
I didn't know. Now,
I heard she was playing, yeah, because they had the Pro-Am format.
So they got... I don't like that either. I'm sorry. You got your National Open. Yeah. The National Open is a Pro-Am.
Yeah, there was an amateur putting out on the last green as Hendy was waiting to try and hole his putt.
Oh.
Yeah, it's interesting sort of format.
We need to fix it up.
Yep.
We can't have this. This is just my opinion. Gavin Kirkman from the PGA of Australia, if you're listening, it's just my opinion.
Where's the fault here, do you guys think? Is New Zealand just doing a really, really good job, or is Australia dropping the ball?
A little bit of both, perhaps. I think New Zealand is doing an amazing job, obviously, promoting... You know, their National Open, now the Pro-Am format, not a fan of it, as you say. However, here in Australia, I mean, I think, I'm trying to remember the Australian Opens I used to play back in the day. We were probably playing for more back then than they are now.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, trying to find the sponsors, and the issues is, as we all know, finding the sponsorship money for golf in Australia is the difficult task at the moment. It's so hard to do it because every other sport, they're more... I mean, I don't know what you can sponsor an Australian Open for, but if you put that same amount of money into an AFL team, how much more exposure are you going to get?
Who do we say Keith Pelly's replacement is?
Guy Kinnings.
I want to talk to Guy Kinnings. He'll talk to us. I want to say, hey, listen, if the Australasian Tour, if we put all of our tournaments, the New Zealand Open, the whole lot, Would there be any help coming our way? Because once upon a time, when I did an old show called Chasing Birdies, I was in contact with the European Tour. And their answer to me was, not only will we help the big events, we'll help the little events.
Well, it's got to funnel all the way through, doesn't it?
Well, that's right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the PGA Tour, a lot of their money comes from the TV deals over there, obviously. And just looked up the New Zealand Open. They're presented by Sky Sports. Yeah. So that probably tells you there's a lot of media money coming in.
We got to lift.
We do.
We need to lift.
This is a good question to put to James Sutherland as well, I would think.
Yeah, well, I've just been in, got a little text message before from their media manager, and James wants to come on. Great. We just got to find our time when.
Okay.
Yeah, in between Nick making money on the golf course, teaching people, and being away at Tara Eady. So we've got a couple issues that we've got to balance up, but we'll get him.
Well, it might work well. I'll be in New Zealand and you can take the heat here.
Now, normally in the turn, it's party pies and maybe even chicken sangers. This is your home too, if you're at the National, Nick.
I want some Peking duck.
My favourite here is the smoked salmon dish. It really well. It's beautiful.
Well, can you ring your little bell and let's get a couple of those sent up, please? Sounds That'd be good. Nice. See you on the 10th too.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Now, if you haven't checked out the Golf Clearance Outlet, then you, I can guarantee you this, are missing out. And if you have, well, you know what we're talking about. Great time to drop in because with all the new equipment released in January, good old Sam at the Golf Clearance Outlet is licking his lips because the stores are chock full of 2023 branded clearance product. And you know, that was a hell of a year for golf equipment, Nick.
You're spot on there, Mark. There's heaps of gear for righties, of course, but as you know, I am a lefty, so there's a heap of gear for lefties as well, and plenty for both men and women. And if you're after a great Prezi idea, you can get gift cards in-store or online.
So if you're looking for great golf gear and great prices, the Golf Clearance Outlet needs to be in your plans to go and check it out. See the team in-store at Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane and Perth, or online, golfclearanceoutlet.com.au. It's that simple, Nick.
Can't wait.
Hang on, Nick. I thought you were righty putting now.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
Hey, Nick, I know you've heard of the Watch My Numbers app. It is brand new, and it is going to dominate the golf app scene for a long, long time. If you want to improve your game, you need to know the areas you're doing well in and where you need to improve, and this app will tell you exactly that, Nick.
Yeah, you're spot on, Mark. It's the most powerful database golf app in the world, and it helps analyze and improve your game like never before because it uses real-time data from your rounds and highlights the areas of your game that you want to look at.
You get actionable and usable info in minutes, not hours. That's really important. It's easy to use. You can set up your profile very quickly. I've done mine. And start accessing data and subscriber-only content straight away.
Hmm. Who's it aimed at?
Well, it's aimed at people who want to improve their game. It's for all levels of every golfer out there. Particularly powerful if you're a mid to low handicapper. But it's great for the elite level and pros as well.
So elite and pros as well. I like that.
Watch My Numbers. Download it from the App Store and turn your bogeys in the birdies.
If you're enjoying the podcast, make sure to subscribe and never miss an episode. And maybe share it with a friend. Now back to Nick O'Hearn and Mark Allen. This is Talk Birdie to Me.
So I thought after, you know, a nice bit of salmon that I'd come back into the broadcast position and our chairs would have been changed so I could look at this beautiful view. But it has not changed.
Just turn around.
We've got a top five. You've got a master class. There's stacks to talk about, but we've got a question first up, Dan.
Yeah, we do. So we've got an email this week from Brian Shanahan. Brian has written in and said, "Hey guys, love the podcast. Look forward to it each week. I'm an 18 handicapper and I'm very, very interested in getting a Ping G430 Max 10K. Why wouldn't you?"
Yeah.
Mm. Now, he's talked about how much he loves them, but he's basically said there's a bit of an extra cost, as you'd expect, if you get fitted with a non-OEM shaft.
What's OEM? Is it off the shelf?
No, OEM is original equipment manufacturer.
Oh, yeah, off the shelf. Okay. Yeah. Yep.
So
I'm glad you know.
Yeah, I do.
Well done.
So basically,
I don't.
So basically, he said, "What is the benefit of a fitted shaft, and how much further or more accurate should I expect as an 18 handicapper with a fitted driver and shaft over the OEM driver and shaft?"
Get okay. This is what we do here at Talk Booty to Me. Let's get the big boy. Let's get the boss on.
Matt Austin from Ping.
Okay, let's give him a call.
How's this for service? Someone sends an email asking a question and we get the boss of Ping fitting. We should have a deal with Matt. If someone goes to a fitting and then they whisper into his ear, "Talk Booty to me." That way he gets a little special.
Hello guys, how we doing?
Hey Matt, great to have you on again to answer our troubled questions that we have with golf equipment. This is fantastic.
It's just ridiculous, Matt, that we could go to you when one of our listeners, has got a question about Ping clubs.
Well, thank you.
Matt, here's the question. This is from Brian Shanahan. Now, I'll sort of paraphrase the question for him here a little bit. He's an 18 handicapper. He's thinking about getting a Ping G430 Max 10K, and his question is whether he should get a fitted shaft as opposed to staying with the OEM shaft.
It's a very good question.
Yeah,
so I'm interested, Matt.
Mm.
So one of the big differences, obviously, is there is a generic answer to this, and then there's a Ping specific answer. So I'll give you the golf answer first. Golf club manufacturers do a very good job, obviously, creating a club head. That club head and club shaft needs to be able to be priced at a certain market to be able to sell it. All right, so it's all well and good for us to make this whiz bang golf club, but if it costs $2,000, then it's not very marketable. So what a lot of manufacturers will do is find a shaft that works for the majority of the population, and then that's the shaft they'll put in as a stock option. Now, for some manufacturers, moving to a shaft that is, in theory, better may perform better with the golfer. Now, the thing that's normally different is the tolerances of that aftermarket shaft, so the very expensive shaft, means that they're not making 100,000 to that shaft. They might only make 1,000. And they can hand pick them and get a very specific weight or flex or frequency for the better player generally.
Okay. No, that's
makes sense.
Very interesting. Yeah, there's a lot more than I ever thought there was to it.
So, Matt, just to clarify, somebody with 110 miles per hour club head speed may well benefit from a special shaft than somebody with 90 miles per hour club head speed.
Possibly, depending on the golfer and how they deliver the golf club. And as I said, that's the generic answer, I guess, or general manufacturing answer.
All right. Well, give us the Ping specific one then.
So the Ping answer is we do things a little differently. So we are an engineering company. So we don't just make golf clubs. We engineer a bunch of different stuff. And one of the things that we take a lot of pride in is creating or engineering our own aftermarket shafts within our range. So we have our stock Alta range, which I'll talk about in a sec as far as the 10K, but we also have a range of no-charge aftermarket shafts, which range generally through a lighter option, a medium, and a heavy option. And then we create some what we call tour shafts. So our tour shafts are made generally for the stronger golfer, and they match the frequency of what some of the aftermarket shafts can offer for that stronger hitter.
Nice.
Now, one of the secrets with the 10K is that if you counterbalance that golf club, meaning there's more weight towards the handle, we can increase the whole MOI of the system, as the engineers talk about. So the heavier the handle is, the heavier we can make the head without increasing overall mass, which increases MOI. So for this instance, the 10K driver for this golfer in 18 handicap likely performs the best with the Alta CB shaft, which is the stock option.
Mm. Well, that's good news for him.
All right. Well, he sounds like he's on a winner. Yeah,
exactly.
Like this could work.
Perfect. So it might save him some money.
Love it.
Hey Matt, if somebody whispers in your ear when you're giving a fit down the track, "Talk Birdie to me," would anything happen special?
I don't know if some sort of smoke would start to come out of somewhere. I'm not really sure. I think,
good on you. Good on you, Matt.
Thanks, Matt. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Cheers.
All right.
All right.
Well, it's good news for Brian. Basically, Matt's saying the stock option is the one he should go for.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Nice. Especially if it feels nice. If you get in, you have a bit of a waggle and it feels good and you have a swing in the net and it feels good, stock option is beautiful. Just fine by the sounds of it. Time for this week's top five.
Top five.
So, who's the bloke who won on the PGA Tour again? Eckrat?
Eckrat? I don't know how you say it. Austin Eckrat?
That'll do me.
Okay.
That'll do me. Fast swing.
Say it fast and we won't know how to say it.
He had a fast swing, but remarkable. I did like his tempo.
Fast tempo.
Yeah, well, yeah. Fast tempo, fast swing. Yeah.
So the tempo has to do with the time it takes for you to start your backswing to when you hit the ball.
Yeah.
It's either fast or slow. It takes you a long time to hit it or it takes you no time at all.
Yeah. Well, I thought his tempo was very repetitive.
Mm.
That's why I liked it.
Yep.
So these are my top five favourite fast swings.
Ooh, I like this.
I've just got to do a bit of... I actually had Charlie Hull in my top five, but I had to yank her out.
Yeah.
Because she's got a fast swing,
yep.
But she's so bloody slow before she hits the ball.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's so annoying
she has
that I took her out.
She has sped it up a little bit, but it's still just over the ball takes
not
forever.
Enough. Yep. So, stiff, Charlie, you're almost in there, but not today. Just quick it up.
Sounds like a top six, Dan.
At number five, if you've got grey hair, you have a chance to remember this name. Ted Ball.
Okay.
His arms didn't even get to parallel with the ground. His swing was so short and so quick.
He bombed it too.
Yeah, he did bomb it. He hit it miles. At number four, everybody's favourite miss putt on the 72nd hole at St Andrews, Doug Sanders. Another tiny short swing.
Very short swing.
Quick and good play.
Is this faster tempos, shorter swings? Is that how it works?
No.
Is there a certain...
Because my next two swings, they both overswung with the driver in their prime.
Okay. So someone on there that I don't think is going to make it. All right.
At number three, Jose Marie Olazabal.
Really?
Not everybody thinks he's quick.
No.
Especially you.
No.
I can see. But he had a quick swing, folks. It was just so long.
Okay.
It was the fastest long swing I'd ever seen.
Fair call.
At number two, this man had a long swing too in his prime.
Yes.
And it was quick.
I saw the name earlier.
And he won a lot of majors. Tom Watson. How many majors did he win?
Ooh.
Look that up. I'm guessing nine.
Eight or nine, yeah.
Well, he won how many British Opens? He won five.
Five.
Yeah, five British Opens. That fair head start. Which one did he miss?
Never won a...
PGA?
PGA.
Because he won the Masters,
yes.
And he definitely won the US Open, chipping in on Nicholas.
Yep.
On the 17th hole, it's a famous one. And my number one, because this swing was pure when he just got the frames, you know, in P1, P2, P3. His name is Nick Price. Oh. He's from Zimbabwe.
We should do a top five best Nick swings because there's a few.
There's a lot of Nicks.
Because I know I wouldn't make that list.
There's a lot of Nicks. Anyway, I loved his. He had a magnificent. Fast swing.
He was pure.
And to his credit, David Ledbetter never, ever tried to slow him down. I think he slowed a lot of people down, but never got in Nick's ear about slowing down.
No.
Anyway, there's my top five.
Well done. I liked it.
Hey, quickly, just on the back, can we just say a big round of applause to the people who voted to keep Oakley Golf Club?
Oh.
It's been saved.
So good.
Oakley Golf Club has been saved. Just brilliant.
Yeah.
Sandy Jamieson, all the work that he put in on, you know, there's a couple of times I almost got sick of it. He did so much work seeing it. Yeah, just, but Sandy, to you, congratulations. And just all those people who start and finish their golf at Oakley, it's great news for them.
Yeah, it was. And the Reach and Belong Disability Support Group was there to get about 4,000 signatures to go along to the Monash Council and say, hey, we need to change all this. It was a 10-1 vote in the end.
Yeah.
Which was... You know, heads up to them for actually saying, okay, yeah, we see everyone's wanting to go down this. Because they wanted to make it, a regional park or something like that. And, I mean, golf for these people, especially people with these disabilities, because that's what Sandy's great at with all these golfers that come in there.
There are parks everywhere in the area.
Yeah, and the other courses around, like Metro, Huntingdale, they were in there putting their votes in.
Riversdale.
Golf Australia did really well. Yeah, Riversdale, they all put their submissions in to say, look, we need to keep this golf course open.
I wasn't going to say anything. Don't be surprised if those clubs you just mentioned have something to do with the ongoing performance of Oakley Golf Club. Leave that in your back pocket.
I will.
Well, that is good news.
Okay, it's time for some feedback, Dan.
There's a lot of feedback this week, and someone cops a whack.
Good.
Who could that be?
I don't know, if it's not me.
We'll find out.
I don't care.
A couple of quick ones first. This is from Greg Barton. Greg said, Anthony Kim's signing is the final nail in the coffin of LIV's official World Golf Rankings application, if it wasn't dead already.
Yeah, it's a bit of that. Some people saying they jump in the shark. That was me, actually. they might be jumping the shark.
Jumping the shark.
Okay. But you know what I mean. Did you ever watch Happy Days? When Fonzie jumped the shark?
Oh, have you not seen that footage?
I haven't seen that one.
Please.
Oh, my God.
You've never heard
it's unbelievable.
It's when a show's been going for so long.
I used to watch Happy Days. Yeah.
And they're getting desperate.
Right.
Then there's a term in the film world or TV world that, oh, that show's jumping the shark.
Really?
Because,
okay.
You know, that's what they did in Happy Days.
Here we go, Fonz. I'm heading for the ramp. Are you sure you want to do it?
I thought
it was something to do with Greg Norman.
No. It comes from an episode of Happy Days when ratings were declining.
That's right.
And Fonzie jumped a shark on a water ski.
Oh my God!
And it was huge.
It was huge, but awful.
Look at that shark, Fonz.
Yeah.
How could you accept the challenge?
It wasn't me. It was you.
I know.
And he wore his leather jacket when he escaped.
He did. We've got to put that video on socials.
Yeah, we got
it. And Nick, you have to watch it.
I will.
He's ready to make the jump.
Next week, we'd like a review of the Jump the Sharp episode.
Yep.
Daniel has said, and this is in reference to the rumours about the LIV meeting,
yes,
where they basically, you know, they've written off the PGA discussions. Looks like the war is just beginning.
Yes, mm-hmm. That was. I saw that tweet earlier in the week, and it was an apt tweet.
Yeah,
good one.
Ben has said a quick observation about the LIV golf broadcast. The way they talk up Anthony Kim is crazy. You'd think he'd won 5 majors. Mm. I had to put the TV on mute.
Did work though. They got their best ever ratings in the United States.
Their commentators are out of control. Yeah, every shot is the greatest shot ever.
Yes, I've noticed.
Now, with you going to New Zealand next week, you'll be in New Zealand next week, Nick.
Correct.
You'll be over there at Tara Iti.
So, how are we doing the podcast, by the way?
I might have a good view. I'd say that.
God.
Maybe I'll do it out the front of the clubhouse.
I know.
Well, I think glass of wine in hand.
Take your microphone.
I will.
Nick is offering to fly the two of us over.
Oh, that'd be good.
So we asked a question on socials about New Zealand courses and what you would recommend, if you've played over there, what you think are the must-play New Zealand courses. So, Roving Bombers has said, Jack's Point is brilliant. I'm going back next year to play there again.
Everyone loves this course. The views
I've seen the views. I haven't played
amazing.
It.
Tony Warboys has said, I played Kinloch last Friday.
And?
Possibly the best track I've ever played.
Wow.
The condition was amazing. The layout was demanding but fair. And the green complexes with many buried animals underneath. A must play.
Never heard of it. No.
Okay.
Didn't know about that one.
Evan said Cape Kidnappers.
Yes. Looks amazing. Yeah. Looks like one of those calendar courses, you know, with the crazy holes.
Yeah. Never played there, but it looks phenomenal.
Yeah.
And Craig Hux has said, I played the South Island last year. Jack's Point, awesome. Millbrook Resort, stunning.
Yep.
Arrowtown, a classic country club.
Yes.
Quirky but great fun.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't get to the hills, but Queenstown is a great base.
Okay. Very good. Yeah.
What about Perapera Umu?
That's the one I would have added in there.
Evan said that. Evan said Perapera Umu, and he also said Kidnappers.
Well done. Well done, Ev.
So there you go. Question from Rye. Rye Coleman has asked you boys, how do you chip around the green on uphill and downhill lies 5 to 10 feet off the green, and where is the ball positioned for these shots? I play on some elevated greens.
Get the putter out. No. a putter would be a good option if it actually is an elevated and you got a downhill lie, that's for sure. If you can putt through the fringe. But
yeah, what about if you're on kike?
Yeah, exactly. Then you've got to actually get the lofted club out. So I always like to lean with the slope. I mean, that's obviously a big thing. So let's take the downhill chip shot first. I think I did a masterclass on this.
Yeah, you've done it all.
Felt like years ago, but it was months ago. Yeah. Nice wide stance. Lean your weight into your front leg. Swing down with the slope. That's the real key on that one. Very simple. The uphill chips is a bit of the opposite. You're leaning into the slope with your lower half. getting that weight so you're nice and balanced, and yet then just tilt your upper half back so that you're swinging up with the slope. So it's a bit of a combination of both there. Mm. So you don't need to take as much loft on the uphill chip shot because you're obviously already adding loft to it. The other thing is the ball will want to go a little left on you as well, so yep. Aim a touch to the right on the uphill shot. Hopefully that helps.
Yeah. Hey, you've just reminded me. Mm. On Sunday, I took my son for a hit on the driving
range.
How's
that going, by the way?
He's in business. He's starting to fly. He's flushing it, and he went from not being able to hit the ball to now hitting it fantastic, and he is doing the Kabori Nico Hu
waggle.
So that's got to go. So he's got steep shoulders going and the club going more up. And now the swing looks like it goes up and down. He's making contact and he's enjoying himself. But that's not the story. The story is that Peter Fowler was hitting balls next to us.
Oh, really? Chucky.
And we started talking about chipping, Peter Fowler and I.
That is a good one to talk to.
Now, we are doing – I've already cleared it. I just forgot to mention it to you two. But he has agreed to come on and do a bonus pod to talk about the short game competitions he used to have with Seve Ballesteros.
This will be a beauty.
To talk about his methods and how he chips. Yep. You know, one of the things he told me, because he was talking about our grass, and he said all the players at the Australian up in Sydney, they've all got the yips because because it's so grainy up there. And I was saying, listen, I don't practice my chipping anymore, and I've almost got the heebie-jeebies sometimes because of it. He goes, we've got the toughest grass to hit off. And I said, I said to him, I'm chipping these days mainly with the heel in the air when I chip.
Mm-hmm.
You know what he said? I chipped that way my entire career.
There you go.
Chuck Fowler.
He's one of the best.
Went heel up his entire career. Anyway, so that's when I asked the question, Chuck, we need to talk to you.
Yes.
On Talk Birdie to Me as a bonus pod. He will come on whenever we need him.
Beautiful.
Okay,
that'll be a fascinating
tuck that
discussion.
One in. That'll be a ripper. That could go for 2 hours, that pod.
I want to talk to him about how he laid up on the last hole of a tournament on a par 3 to win the golf tournament.
Yes, yes.
That'll be an interesting one to hear that story.
And I want to ask him, could I play with him in Canberra, at Royal Canberra? And he did, to this day, I've mentioned this before, to this day is the greatest up and down I've ever seen in my life. He shanked the shot into the pine trees. He was off a bare lie. He had to hit it under an underhanging branch. He had to land the ball on a downslope over a bunker, and the pin was cut close to the bunker. He did all those things. It was a downwind chip.
Oh.
Made it spin and stopped it 2 feet from the hole. I just want to know if he remembers that shot. That'll do me.
Yep. And if he doesn't, he goes, I've done it 1,000 times.
It's the greatest ever shot I've ever seen.
It would be great if any listeners to the pod want to ask Chucky a question.
Yep.
Get in touch with us.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Anyway, so we'll get the Chuck. We'll get the Chook at some stage.
Rye also went on to say, I'd like to tip my cap to a good mate of mine, Zach Grubiser, who won our local club championship at How Long Golf Course, which is up on the Murray River.
Zach, the four-time champion at How Long.
That's pretty good.
Great name for a golf course, How Long.
It is.
It's a river.
It's a beauty.
Well, it's 430. Yeah, okay.
How Long?
G'day guys, this is from Chris Payne. G'day guys, a great and very funny podcast last week on the President's Cup story, a classic, Mark.
Yeah.
I tagged Nick on Facebook with a video of Vijay Singh swinging it left-handed. Really impressive indeed.
Yeah, it was, yep.
Yep.
Yes, it was.
Very good.
I'd like to suggest a talking point for the pod could be golf pros who were right-handed, but actually were pretty handy left-handed. Yeah, Mac O'Grady comes to mind.
Yeah, was a... Well, now there's a top five, actually.
Yep.
Pencil that top five in for next time I'm doing the top five, because you'll be in it.
Cam Davis.
Nico Hu will be in that top five.
I still got to get one more card in.
It's Cam Davis number one, Mac O'Grady number two.
Ooh, I'd go the other way. Mac, have you seen Mac play left?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Not as good as our boy.
Last week, you recall, we spoke to Tim from the Waratah Golf Club in New South Wales.
Yeah.
They had their pro-am last Wednesday.
Yeah.
And how's this? Andrew Richards in the pro-am got a hole in one on the third hole at Waratah last week.
Holy
congratulations.
Well done.
Beautiful.
Fantastic for the young guy.
Great effort.
And this one here from Shankenstein, which is a great name. Guys, love the pod. I bought myself those gloves you recommended, Mark. It's the best glove I've ever used. My wife wants a lounge chair made out of the material. By the way, have you guys played Tevin Golf Course? Outstanding. You need to go.
Yeah. Well, the gloves you're talking about are from the Golf Clearance Outlet. And Sam Colosimo, who is well and truly on board, I said to him, mate, you've got to put the price up on these things. He said, I can't put the price up. Three for $39.
Walking out the door.
The best leather you ever felt. top class $13 each gloves. And if you go to golfclearanceoutlet.com.au, you can order them online and they'll be sent straight to your house.
Yep, it's nice. Final comment here. This is from Dan. Dan has said, on the pod, it sounds like, Nick, you are treading carefully due to your PGAT pension.
Yeah, I agree with that.
The inaccuracy of the official world golf rankings in comparison to live structure was bemusing. When will the PGA Tour do something for Australia?
Yeah, very interesting. Yeah. Well, no, look, I've always said, now, you're saying I'm towing the line or tipping? What was it again?
You said you're treading carefully.
Yeah. No, it's a load of bollocks. I'll ask you this. Have we ever made a secret that the LIV Golf has been my cup of tea? I mean, no.
We haven't.
No, exactly.
I'll be very open.
I'm more of a traditionalist in that regard. I like the 72 holes, the cuts, and all that sort of thing. The world ranking points discussion, I think we were talking about data golf last week.
Yep.
Yeah, and it is a bit bemusing. But the funny thing about the golf rankings is the only thing they're there for is to determine who gets in the majors.
That's right.
At the end of the day. Doesn't matter about any other tournament around. The 50th best player, are they better than the 20th? Who cares? I mean, it doesn't really matter.
It's just that
the top 50 get into all the majors. So that's what the world rankings is there for. Now, the LIV golfers, they knew going in that they weren't going to get world ranking points, as we already know.
We think they were told they were going to get them, though.
Yeah.
That's what we think,
yeah, sure. Yeah. But only if they change certain things, which they haven't, and it's very, very hard to do all that. The thing that gets me on both sides of the tours now, the PGA Tour as well as LIV and everyone else, is the money in that has become sickening. And I'm not bored of it. I'm just like, ugh, I'm so over it at the moment. It's just gone out of control, too crazy. The PGA Tour tried to up their purses. They shouldn't have done that because the only people benefiting from that are the players, not the fans. The experience isn't as good. The sponsors are getting more ripped off these days.
They're losing sponsors.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the Honda, which was on last week, they're out, and they were the tour's longest sponsor ever. Now that it was called the Cognizant Classic or something like that. So, yeah, I mean, am I treading whatever?
Well, you know, Dan's entitled to his view. I have to say, I don't think you do tread carefully. I think you have an opinion.
I'll say what he's
and you've been consistent with it, and you've said it. And that's okay.
Okay.
Hey, if you lose
fired up now.
If you lose your pension, we will write a letter to Jay Monahan.
No, well, the good news is I will never
make sure you don't lose it.
No, the good news is I'll never lose the pension. it'll kick in at some stage.
All right, I think we need to get some Ping Global results now.
Yes, let's go.
All right, perfect. Okay, this week on the PGA Tour, they had the Cognizant Classic in the Palm Beaches. How's that for a name
of it? It's hard to say.
It's too hard.
Jeez.
You got to shorten it to CCITB, I think is the best way.
It's a better way.
Anyway, it was at the PGA National where they have the bear trap.
Yeah.
Yep, you haven't played there, have you?
No, I've never played there. You told me last year there's
nasty finish.
You told me last year there's a tougher stretch.
Tougher stretch? Oh, at a different tournament. What is it? The Snake Pit, maybe at Valspar, which is in in Tampa. Yeah, that's a brutal. But anyway, no, it is a tough finish. But Austin Eckrout, Ping's Austin Eckrout, by the way, won the tournament by 3 shots from our own Minwoo Lee, which was a fantastic result, as you mentioned earlier. Mark making his biggest check, and Eric Van Rooyen, who finished a day and a half before everyone else, didn't he?
You see his start. Birdied the first 6, then birdied 8, then birdied 10.
Incredible.
So was it? He's 8 under through 10, or he might have even been 9 under through 10.
It's a shame for the delays with him, you know, where he had to wait 3 hours because he could have shot anything that final round. So great result for him. And also a guy just finished one the previous week, Jake Knapp. Good to see him playing well again. Tied for fourth. He almost had a chance to go
good
back
on
to
him.
Back. So good to see him out there. Obviously giving up the, what is it, the nightclub?
The bouncing.
Yeah, the bouncing.
He's not bouncing anymore.
Paid off for him. Obviously, the LPGA Tour at the HSBC Women's World Championship in Sentosa. We saw Hannah Green with that amazing win. What a great win that was for her. Jin Young Ko was actually going for a three-peat. She'd won there the last 2 times. So she put up a good effort, just didn't quite finish it off, but somewhere around the top 10.
Any other Aussies?
Aussie front, Grace Kim was best at tie for 25th, Minji Lee 29th. So they were the best of the rest of the Aussies.
I'm really looking forward to seeing Grace Kim continued improvement.
Mm.
That's, you know, 25th, we kind of fob it off sometimes, but in that field, it's a mighty effort for someone who's only been pro for a couple of years.
Certainly was. On the LIV Golf side of things, they're up in Jeddah, where Joachim Wacken. We'll say Wacken. Neiman got his second win this year in three tournaments on the LIV Tour. He had a four-shot win over Louis Oosthuizen and Charles Schwartzel. Uses that Ping driver, actually. What was it, the G430 Max?
Yes. 10K Max.
Yeah, yes. It's the most used driver on the LIV Tour. Amazing. And a lot of those guys, they don't have contracts anymore, so that shows you how good those drivers are.
There was a list like that on the PGA Tour. There was a list of the clubs that players who aren't contracted use.
Interesting. Yeah. Then you know that. Okay,
that
hang
club's
on.
Okay.
This is the good stuff.
That is right.
I was a little disappointed with it. We're talking about the official World Golf Rankings. He took another dig at it in his presentation afterwards.
Did he really?
Yeah, they said, you're going to be one of the favourites for the Masters now. And he said, well, how can I be? Because I'm like 100th in the world.
Yeah,
so
just leave it away.
Just get over it, Joaquin. Come on. Anyway, the Crushers finished second. Big result for the Crushers.
What about our boys, the Rippers?
Rippers are struggling. Ninth, unfortunately. Wasn't a great week for the Aussies. The best of was Matt Jones, tied for 14th. Lucas Herbert, he had a good chance going into the final round, but shot a 73 to finish tied for 22nd. And Cam Smith and Leish were back in the field, tied for 41st. The Majestics, possibly the worst team they have. See, this is what I don't get about. I'm going to go a little bit of a live rant. Rant here, but I'm just going to go there. They got three co-captains in the Majestics. So that means
why?
If they finish bottom, whatever, six players.
Doesn't matter. They can
they continue to play. It gets me a little bit.
Yeah.
So there needs to be some sort of system where if you don't play well enough, you're out and come back in. I reckon they should relegate teams. That'd be interesting, wouldn't it? Then you're going to pick your teams.
I might start watching if they're relegating teams.
That'd be interesting.
That would be interesting.
If you're playing well and the rest of your team sucks, well, guess what? You're out.
Ooh. Well, imagine if they actually had a promotion and relegation system.
I'd make it like the EPL or whatever.
That could be interesting.
That would be interesting.
Yeah, now you're talking.
Anyway, here's a good one. We had the Asian, Korean, Japanese, and the Challenger PGA Tour Australasian co-sanctioned event.
Oh, my gosh.
New Zealand Open.
I'm glad you don't have wine today, because that would have been very hard to say.
Yeah, there was a lot of co-sanctionings going on. What's that, a quad sanction?
Yeah, it's a quad-sanctioned event.
But Japan's Takahiro Hataji created history. First Japanese player to win the New Zealand Open in 103-year history. Isn't that incredible?
Yeah.
One-shot win over Scott Hand, who looked like he was going to go birdie to finish, but unfortunately three-putted the last.
Oh, yeah.
So it was a tough finish for him. But a great win for Hataji, first Japanese winner on the Challenger PGA Tour of Australasia since, who do you think?
Japanese player.
Got to go
I'm
back.
Going to say Joe Ozaki.
Well, close. Aoki.
Aoki.
When he won the Coca-Cola Classic at Royal Melbourne back in 1989. How's that for a bit of history for you?
Yeah, well done.
Anyway, Anthony Quail, Josh Geary, and Matt Griffin finishing a tie for third there. So nice playing for all those guys. The DP World Tour, they had the SDC Championship in South Africa. USA's Jordan Gumberg won in a playoff from South Africa's Robin Williams. Not the comedian.
Robin Williams.
Yeah, no, exactly, Robin Williams. Hayden Barron, best of the Aussies, tied for 20th. So a good result there
going
for Hayden.
Going well, isn't he? He's going well.
Corn Ferry Tour, he had the Argentinian Open. Now, they were offering on the Corn Ferry Tour, Argentinian Open, an Open Championship berth.
Yeah, big.
It's good.
They should
do that for all national Opens,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely they should.
Did they do that in New Zealand?
No.
I don't think they did.
No.
No, because they do it for the Australian Open.
Normally you'd see the little British Open sign.
Yes, that's right. Anyway, so Jordan, he gets into, no, not Jordan, Mason Anderson, sorry, won on the second playoff hole against Chris Ventura. And best of the Aussies was Rain Gibson, tied for 34th. And lastly, just a little
Hang on. You said a very famous name then, Ventura. No relation to Ken?
Don't know.
I wonder.
Chris Ventura. I'll have to look that one up for you.
Okay.
A little bit of a shout out on scheduling here. Now, the Challenge Tour, they didn't play this past week, but the previous week, I forgot to mention, because I didn't realise it was going on, but Hayden Hopewell finished third in a Challenge Tour event.
Oh, wow.
Really, really well done. But I want to give a shout out to the Challenge Tour about their schedule. So the first four events are in South Africa, okay?
Yeah.
In February. The next two in March are in India. The next two in April are in the UAE. And then in May, they go to continental Europe, where they're 3 weeks in a row in France. So what they're doing is they're putting the players in these places for weeks on end, because the Challenge Tour, you do not really make much money there, okay? You're not playing for much.
That's great.
So they're not going back and forth all over the place. They've done their scheduling really well. So a bit of a shout out there for them anyway.
Good
just a random observation that I made.
That's a good observation.
So well done, but that's the
You should make more observations.
I should. Ping Global results for this week. Thank you very much.
Nice. Did you guys see on on Monday night, inside, what's it called?
Australian Story. It was really good.
Minji and Minwood.
Yeah.
No, I never did.
Go to iView and have a look at it. Bring it up there. It was well worth it. And Richie Smith got a good mention as well.
Some really, really nice footage of them when they were kids.
Yeah.
Some really cute shots. It was great.
How about Minji? Not only was she a superstar golfer playing for Australia, she was the ducks at her school. She was smartest kid and the best golfer in the country. Go away.
I'm jealous about
Nick
that.
Nick off. Oh, honestly.
Good at both, academics and sport. That's unheard of.
Well worth a watch. It's on ABC iView. Go and check it out.
All right, the masterclass this week. Mark, you mentioned Austin Eckrout with his quicker golf swing.
So repetitive rhythm.
Very, very repetitive. And the good news about that golf swing is when you get under pressure, it's hard to get faster.
Yeah.
Most people, when they get under pressure, their swing quickens up. But if you've already got a quick swing, that can actually work.
Hey, that's not a green light to our listeners to go faster
I know. It's funny, the other week I did the masterclass on slowing down at the top of your backswing, and now I'm going in the opposite direction. But the whole point about
how do you swing fast well?
So you've got to play like your personality. So if you are a very, what's the right word?
Smart-ass?
Yeah. OCD, not OCD, ADHD, you know, real jumpy sort of fast type personality, well, swing the golf club that way. Whereas if you're more methodical, laid back, slower, well, then you should probably swing the golf club that way as well. Now, the key to a tempo and swinging fast is if you take a fast backswing, you got to swing fast on the way down, obviously. Yeah. What a lot of people do is they go fast on the way back and then they lose all that momentum and they slow down on the way through. It's almost like a deceleration. If anything, I prefer to see people go the other way where they have a nice slow takeaway, and that actually helps you speed up through the ball. But if you can't take it away slow, because I know a lot of people struggle with that, don't try and fight it. Just go back quick and then transition quick. It's all in the transition with a tempo. Once you get to the top, don't delay. Go as fast as you like. Now, the other key with swinging fast is I always say to people, swing as fast as you like as long as you're finding the center of the club face and you finish in a balanced finish. If you are losing your balance and you're mishitting the ball, well, guess what? It's time to slow down. So see how fast you can go. Hitting it as hard as you like or as fast a swing as you like. Finding the club face and keeping balanced, and I'll post a social media thing that I might, you know what I might do?
Yeah.
I got to go pick some gear up from Ping later on. Oh, so I might even do it from the Ping studio there and post that. I'll get Matt Austin to maybe film it for me. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to go as fast as I possibly can and it's going to look like it's in slow motion.
Well, thank you to the National Golf Club for looking after us this week. It has been fantastic. Make sure you come down next week, so March the 14th to the 17th. If you're in the area, come down and watch some of the best golfers that we have in the country. Get into the clubhouse. Make sure you have a chicken sandwich. They were perfect, weren't they? Dan, you loved your chicken sandwich.
Oh, the smoked salmon was good too.
Smoked salmon.
Yeah, the smoked salmon was good as well. So when are you going to Tarrawhitty again?
I'm going Sunday, so I'll chat to you from the deck at the clubhouse maybe. Who knows?
Have fun over there as well. See you guys.
See you guys. Cheers.
Thanks for being part of Talk Birdie to Me with Nick O'Hearn and Mark Allen. And if you want to be part of the show, drop us a message or comment on the socials. Or you can send an email or leave a voicemail at talkbirdietome.com.au. Thanks to the great team at Ping. They're the best in the business and they'll help you play your best. And the Golf Clearance Outlet. If you're after top quality at prices you won't beat, check them out. golfclearanceoutlet.com.au. Talk Birdie to Me's executive producer is Dan Bradley at Kaizen Media. Sound design, Daryl Misson at loudzebra.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.